Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is September 26th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live as well as those of you here via recording. You can, of course, listen to the recordings by going to Google Podcast or Apple Podcast and subscribing to Motor Vitality. You can get years and years and years and years worth of the archives at motorvitality.com. But we always appreciate it when you're on here live because I like these to be a discussion. You know, this is, I like it when everybody participates and hops in and kind of chats together. It's a nice little forum to kind of learn from each other on. So with that in mind, Jen's not with us today. She's at Eastern Water Quality Association. So as am I, but figured I'd break out and spend a little time with you guys here for this Thursday morning call. So hopefully we can have a recap of that in the coming weeks and of this conference. If you have never been to one of these local or regional or even the national any of these conferences, any of the state or regional conferences, some of us have mentioned that before. I strongly encourage you to do so. I mean, it's a great way to kind of learn what's happening in your area, to learn in general, to meet people, learn from them. It's just a great experience. So with that, though, I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that's worth sharing with other professionals across the country or anything we can help you with? Any questions that anybody has?
It's Stacy. I do have a question.
Go, Stacy.
I had another salesperson call me from a slightly different area with some questions that I didn't know because I don't deal with it. Apparently, like sulfur-reducing bacteria and iron-reducing bacteria can coat itself in slime, which requires a chemical feed. Do we know anything about this? And
anybody else have any experience with sulfur bacteria or iron bacteria? So it's coating itself with slime. Is that what you said?
Apparently so. This wraps in a little farther south of our area, and I will say they do a lot of, like, UV systems and stuff for, like, pond water for people that are getting their water from cisterns or ponds. But whereas I've never dealt with that in our area. But apparently they get bacteria that will coat itself in slime, so, like, shocking a well will not care of it. You need a constant chemical chlorine feed apparently to kill it. So
hydrogen peroxide or chlorine injector.
Okay.
Will take care of bacteria, but it has constant. So you usually have a holding tank and a little pump that works like a venturi injector. So whenever the water's turned on, it's actually sucking it into there or pumps it into there, so it helps kill the bacteria.
Okay.
Also, and as part of that, obviously, you have to have the carbon filter to remove it, and this is before it
afterwards,
goes through any
other
treatment. Yeah. So, that's it. That's and the thing with the bacteria. That's thank you, Tony, for hopping in. See, why aren't you here every week, Tony? That's good input. But anytime you have, I mean, bacteria is nasty stuff. So when it comes to iron bacteria, it's a lot of times misdiagnosed. People think that, you know, they see it in the back of toilets. I've seen this a lot of times. They have a lot of iron in the water, and they see it in the back of toilets, and in the back of the toilet, it's this muddy, you know, when it's just iron, it can build up on the side of the toilet, and it's like this red, brown mud sludge stuff, and a lot of people go in there and just automatically say that, oh, that's iron, it's iron bacteria, you have iron bacteria. You know when it's bacterial because you have these big gelatinous mushroom-like globules all over, or sometimes a rainbow sheen over the top of the water in the back of the toilet, and it's it's kind of, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you see a bacterial. And the problem with that is, you know, UV, you got to treat it because, I mean, that slimy bacteria will get in and kind of ruin all the equipment. And you certainly can't put UV on it when you have iron bacteria or anything like that because that stuff's going to coat the UV bulb and not allow the UV light to penetrate and kill the bacteria. So yeah, the only way to really treat it and take care of it is going to be peroxide or chlorine. You can use ozone as well. I've seen that work. But a lot more maintenance with something like ozone in there. Anybody else have any input on that? Thoughts on that? Real quick, before I get into our topic, we had one that was kind of fun last week with a client that I'm working with in New York. And this was on a well, and we went out, and he had equipment in the house. I tested the water out of the equipment. There was no iron whatsoever in it. It was, you know, and he said, well, I'm getting staining. I'm definitely getting staining in the, you know, in the showers and in the sinks. And so I started to do a plumbing assessment, and I tested the water. There was no iron whatsoever coming out of the equipment. So his equipment, he had an iron filter in there, barely any iron before the water. pH was a little low, about 6, but went and did a plumbing assessment, and sure enough, on the tile in the bathroom, there was definitely yellow stains from the iron. There was definite iron coming out of the bathroom sink, you know, streaking down. So I opened the back of the toilet up, and in the back of the toilet, for those of you who may or may not know, you know, that's one of the best places to look and see what's happening inside the plumbing. Most people don't take the time to clean out the water closet in the back of their toilet, so you can pop that thing open and get a pretty good indication of what's happening inside the lines. Well, I opened the back of that toilet, and it was crystal clear. Zero staining in there. And I asked him, how long has it been since you cleaned this out? He said, I don't think we ever have. And, okay. So any guesses on what we figured out was the problem on that? There was definite staining in the sink and in the shower, nothing in the back of the toilet. Any guesses?
Is it the hot water tank?
It absolutely was. So they had not replaced that water heater, and I mean, it was about 20 years old, and that's exactly what we determined. We tested the hot water and had almost a part per million of iron coming out of the hot water tank. So that was exactly what it was. So it's I love those kind of detective things, you know, where you figure it out, you know, where you can kind of just troubleshoot. And sometimes it doesn't have to be that complicated, you know, just stop when you're there with the customer, take your time, think about what would make sense, you know, do that plumbing assessment, ask questions, diagnose. You know, we were able to, he did not have a softener, so we were able to help him own a water softener and then encouraged him, which he already did, to put in a new water heater. And that's going to take care of the problem. So kind of fun. I like that kind of stuff. So, okay, so we have a topic today that was suggested again by one of you listeners, and which I always appreciate. This has happened a little bit more often in the last couple months. You guys have given me suggestions for these calls, and you've probably noticed, those of you that have given me suggestions on topics, I'm like, yeah. And then you know, 30 minutes later, you get an email that says, here's the topic this week. And that's because, as I've mentioned before, it's sometimes tough to come up with you know, 50 topics a year on these things. And so I always appreciate what you guys want to talk about. So please don't be shy. Send me your ideas. We will put them on the list and talk about them. So today's topic we're going to talk about is, I call it the 10-50 rule. Okay. And this is something that, okay, let's get real about what we do sometimes. You know, when I was in sales, I remember there were times, and you know, honestly, a lot of times it happened this time of the year, September, when, you know, September, October, the weather's beautiful. The leaves are changing. I love the smell of fall, but I struggle sometimes this time of year with, it's not that I mind the winter, but there's something that happens to me. It's hard to stay motivated. It starts getting dark faster. The sunlight goes away as much, and you just know that winter is coming. And it's hard sometimes for me. It was sometimes hard to get that motivation up. I tended to struggle emotionally, through September and October. And I mean, that's when it seemed to happen as a pattern. I think that type of thing can happen a lot, especially when we're not, you know, a lot of us work jobs where we're not required to go into the office every day, where we work unsupervised, you know, we're out in the field, we're creating business, we're doing stuff. And so this, you know, for me, creating business was critical. Many of you have heard me say that the most house leads I ever got in 1 year was 23 house leads the entire year. I could not wait around for the phone to ring, not if I was going to feed my family. You know, something, the one thing about my ex-wife is she was funny about the kids having solid food, and which is irritating. Can you believe that? But whatever, you know. So that the only way that was going to happen was if I went out and did it. And so I had to set these little mini goals for myself. Those days that I just did not feel like going out there and working, those days it was hard to get the motivation. So it started with the 10 rule. Okay. And what that meant was that I would get up and I would tell myself, I'm going to work until I have talked to 10 people today. I'm just 10 people about, because what we tend to do when we get in those funks like that, I think, and I think this is normal. I've talked to a lot of people that have done this in the past. What we tend to do is we'll do stuff that we consider work, but it's actually preparing for work. So we'll sit down and design a flyer or organize our database or, you know, something like that. And it's not actually work. It's preparing for work. It's not stuff that is unimportant sometimes, you know, but we just will sometimes hide ourselves in our office and not make a phone call or not talk to people. And, you know, and we need to talk to people. I mean, we're in sales. This is what we do. You know, you can sit there and create that flyer all day long, but it's not going to really generate the business. And so what I would do is I would say, okay, I'm going to talk to at least 10 people today about water, about what I do. And maybe that those 10 people that day was just calling some, and sometimes I did this and it's amazing what this does to your attitude. You know, you call your existing customers to get on the phone. You don't want to do the pressure of sales. You don't want to have to deal with the rejection. So sometimes if you want to motivate yourself, it's kind of nice to call people that are already happy with you. So I would go through my existing customer list and I would call people that hey, this is Kelly. I just wanted to call and see how things were going. And you know what? It's amazing when you do that, how, especially if you've got a good relationship with your customers, just those phone calls, it's really amazing how quickly that can bring back up your attitude. Talking to people that you had the opportunity to serve that are answering the phone when you call, that and a lot of times when you're doing that, they'll say, oh yeah, so funny you called. I was talking to my sister-in-law about you, you know, or something like that. So you got a referral out of it, which is even better. So that's, you know, if you don't feel like going anywhere, that's certainly one of the things you can do. But I wouldn't limit it to just phone calls either. I mean, you do need to progress and move forward. So you know, that 10 people a day, that minimum of talking to 10 people a day should be going out and just stopping by a kitchen and bath store and introducing yourself. Or maybe you've already been out there and you've done this. You've been established in the field and you've gone out there and you just not – see, for me, I mostly had to focus on this 10 people a day thing and kind of track it by when I was feeling down. When I was, because usually I had my CRM and I had my task list, and I worked until my, you know, until my task list was done every day. I worked until my to-do list was done. But there, those days that I was just struggling to get the motivation to go out there and do the job, you know, and look, I know this is supposed to be a call and I don't want this to be a downer, but we're all people here. We're all human. And my guess is that most of you on this call have those days. You know, I don't think it's realistic for me to sit here and say that never happens. I think it's a very real part of what we do out there. It's hard to describe to somebody that's never done it, because you can't really put your finger on what makes that a challenge. But setting these little miniature goals, I think, helps. So I would say I'm going to go out there and I'm going to until I talk to 10 people. Okay, so I'd walk into a kitchen and bath store and just say hi to somebody that I knew or maybe I met before. I'd walk into just you know, by this time, after a couple years of being in sales, I knew a lot of the people in my business or in my territory. You know, I worked my territory very closely. So I was always stopping in and just saying hi and talking about different, you know, hey, so your daughter graduated this week, you know, or, you know, you read the paper and saw that they were student of the week or something like that. You know, you stop in there and just say hi to people, not to be blatantly a salesperson, but to let them know that you want this relationship with them, because people are a lot more willing to refer their friends than they are just some guy or gal that walked in and sells water treatment, you know? So, but ultimately you set that goal, you know, maybe take 10 pennies and put them in one pocket. And every time you, you know, go and you talk to somebody about water, move the penny to the other pocket, you know, or whatever it takes to keep track. What's that? Somebody said something? So you talk to 10 people a day. The other thing was the 50 people a week. And so I kind of made this as I became sales manager at Clearwater when I was there. I used to set this goal for some of the sales team that I served, okay, which, you know, we would keep track of it. I'd look at it at the end of the week and say, okay, how many people did you talk to this week? Did you talk to 10 people a day or 50 people a week? And maybe that 50 people, here's the cool thing is you can, let's say that you know that you're going to go golfing on Friday and you're probably going to blow it out. Well, you have, if you want to stay to that benchmark, that 10 people a day or the 50 people a week, there's some easy ways you can knock the 50 people out right away. I mean, you know, these community service groups, okay, Kiwanis, Optimist Club, Rotary, any of these places, these are, you know, if you've never been to one of these community service groups, there are a lot of them around. There, you know, there's some of them that you have to be a younger person to be in them. You know, I think JC's is that way. You have to be younger than 35 to be part of the JC's. Some of them tend to have more, I think, in Rotary, you have to be a manager or owner in order to be a member of Rotary. But I will tell you, all of these places, they do a lot for the community. So it's, you know, giving back. They're giving back to the community, which fits right into the philosophy that you guys have heard me all talk about, to give more than you take. But I will tell you from my experience in the Optimist Club, I'm past president of the Brighton Optimist Club. In my experience at the Optimist Club, we meet every week, and they were always looking for speakers. And so we went through so many different rules on how we picked the speakers. Sometimes people were, you know, were responsible for getting us. We just sort of rotated, had a speaker responsibility rotation list. And I got to tell you, it's hard sometimes to find a speaker when you're in these groups. So I have never had an occasion ever where I didn't go to somebody to find out where these places meet. They sometimes meet at 7:30 in the morning and they have breakfast for a few minutes and talk a little bit about business. And then from 8 to 8:30, they'll have a speaker for 25 or 30 minutes. Okay. So, you get in touch with these people. You say, hey, I'd like to come in and talk to you guys about water. Not salesy. Don't want to make it salesy. I just, you know, general water treatment. Maybe you go in there and you do the tea demo. Or you go in and just explain to them in general how a water softener works. Or maybe there's been something on the news. PFAS has been a huge issue. People are starting to hear about PFAS. Maybe you go in and do a 20-minute presentation on PFAS, something that establishes you as the expert. These people, these clubs usually have 10 to 15 people that come to them at these meetings. So there's 15 people right there that you had an opportunity to talk to and present yourself as an expert. My belief is that you can really gauge your success of creating business and having, you know, the income that you need to have by taking a look and evaluating. You know, look at the end of the week. You go, okay, how many homes was I in 10 homes this week? Talking to 10 people, that was the other thing that I always looked at. So 10 homes a week was kind of another benchmark. So 10 people a day, 10 homes a week that you were in or talking in front of 50 people. So that was the other part of where the 10 came from, the 10 homes a week. But so was I in 10 homes? How do you get in 10 homes? Well, that's easy. You know, how do you get in 10 homes if you only have 3 sales appointments? Well, yay, you had 3 house leads. That's 3 of your 10 to get in those 10 homes. Now, how do you get in the other 7? We'll go back and do follow-ups, like I said, with your existing customers. Get in there and do follow-ups. You know, I really believe that you can gauge your success by looking at the end of the week and looking at it and saying, how many homes was I in? Was I in 10 homes this week? Did I talk to 10 people a day or 50 people this week? Was I, you know, where was I at with that? If you were in more than 10 homes or you talked to your 50 people a week, odds are you're doing pretty good. You had some success. You probably got some referrals. You probably made a couple sales. And you definitely have things on scheduled on your task list, on your to-do list for you to do next week and the week after and the week after that. So I think the biggest idea there is to, I think sometimes we can go out there and our work can be really chaotic and it can feel, we look at the end of the day and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it's 6 o'clock already. You know, I was exhausted. And then you look and you go, what did I actually do? What did I actually accomplish today? And so I think sometimes it's important to set those measurements, you know, to kind of measure what we're doing. And if you feel exhausted, you feel like you worked hours and hours and hours and hours, but you go back and you look at it and you only talk to 6 people and weren't in any homes testing water, you know, you might want to reevaluate how you're working and what you're doing. Anybody doing something similar to this or have thoughts or anything to add with this? Did I lose you all? You guys there?
We're here.
There we go. Okay. Silas, did I lull you guys all to sleep? You know, Kelly said that he's getting motivated on a day like in September. This sounds like a good time for a nap. What do you guys think? Thoughts?
It is definitely sometimes difficult to get motivated to get out and do stuff out of your norm. But we have to, and I'll be honest, yeah, we've had a slow couple of months in our office, so they're really pushing us to do new and different things. And part of it is networking, but it's, you know, motivating yourself to get out and do that and just walk in that door is not always the easiest thing.
You know, that's the hard, it's like exercise. Sometimes it's just, the beautiful thing about setting these miniature goals like this is that once you get started, you kind of get on a roll, and it does really help bring you up. And it's sort of like exercise. You know, sometimes I have to force myself, okay, I'm going to get my heart rate up for 15 minutes. I'm just going to do 15 minutes. And then I end up, you know, you get on your elliptical or dread, I call it a dreadmill, you know, you get on the dreadmill and you know, I'm going to do 30 minutes. Nah, you know what? I might as well do an hour. And once you get started, it gets a lot easier to do. You know, it's just sometimes that initial start. And that's why if you take the pressure off of the sales part, that's, I think, part of the biggest thing is you take the salesy part off of it. And you just say that I'm going to commit to being in 10 homes, or I'm going to commit to talking to 10 people today or 50 people this week. You know, you take the sales out of it, and it just becomes a lot easier, and it's sort of, you get on a roll. It sort of brings your motivation back up. Who else is running into that, or what are you doing to kind of get that, you know, to set those goals? Or what types of goals do you guys have that are similar that serve the same purpose? Thoughts? So what are some other ways that we can get in those homes? You know, so we've got existing customers. Anybody have any other ideas just as we finish the last couple minutes here? You know, how else might we, if we, let's say we set our goal, let's say our miniature goal this week, we're going to focus on getting in 10 homes. How are we going to do that? What are other ways? I mean, how can we actually get in and test the water of 10 homes in a week? If we don't have the appointments, you said it's been sort of a slow month, but you're not getting 10 appointments in a week. You know, how do you get in those extra homes? What are some other ideas? How many homes a week do you think your service techs are in? Or your salt delivery guy?
Salt delivery guys, 30 a day, 30 to 35 a day.
There you go.
My techs are probably eight.
When's the last time you rode along with your salt delivery guy?
For me, it's been a while.
I mean, I can't think of a single thing that would be bad about doing that. You go out there as he's delivering salt for those customers that are home. You just introduce yourself to the customers, you know, and just riding along today. While he's delivering salt, I'm going to run in and just test your water real quick. Oh, I noticed you don't have a reverse osmosis system. Have you guys ever considered adding that component? You know, are you buying bottled water? Maybe there's opportunities there. But right there, if they're in 30 a day, holy crap, that's three times what I suggested. So it's all delivery guy. How about your service techs? How many homes are your service techs in? You know, eight a day, right? Have you ever, you know, what if you, real quick, as I go through this, what if you went, you know, what do you think one of your service guys would say, or your service manager would say, if a realtor came to them and said that they wanted to ride along just to see what service is like? You know, a local realtor comes up and says, you know, I'd really like to understand what people are running into and the problems. It's going to make me a better salesperson. Would it be okay if I rode on a couple service calls with one of your service techs? What would the managers at your company say? It's an opportunity to build a relationship with the realtor, to show them what you do, to brag about it. I'm wondering, would they have the same reaction if you did something, if you went to an appliance repair company that you had a relationship with, or maybe that you developed, and said, you know, I know that these are related. We talk about them all the time. Would it be okay if I rode on a couple service calls with one of your guys just to kind of see how you guys do things and just to watch? You know, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but my guess is that they would jump on that opportunity to build that relationship. You know, it's that first initial contact that seems out of the box and unusual that we struggle to have. Well, yeah, I'd say yes, I'd let them do it, but I don't think anybody else would. Why? What makes you different than them? So ultimately, there are a billion different ways of getting in those homes, starting with right at your own company. You know, starting with I mean, your company, how many salt delivery people do you have, Stacy, at your company?
Four.
Four. So 120 homes a day they're in. Okay, yeah. How many service techs?
Five.
Five, okay. And how many homes are they in a day?
Probably 6 to 8, depending on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so 40 to 50 homes a week each. So 250 homes, roughly, for your service techs a week.
Mm-hmm.
Getting in that 10 homes a week should be pretty easy, you guys. And activity creates productivity. Okay, so set those little miniature goals. It doesn't have to be sales appointments. Just get out there and test the water and learn. And, you know, get in there and build relationships. Meet the people in your area, okay? Any final thoughts or comments on this?
Fantastic topic.
Thank you.
That monster still chases us all, and we tend to take the path of least resistance and quit doing things that we know we should be doing. And those are some great, great ideas for eliminating your excuses from why you don't have leads. So good stuff.
Exactly.
One last thing. Thank you, Stacy. Go ahead.
It's What's something that? We definitely kind of needed right now.
Yeah. So let me, one last thing, you guys, about 6-7 months ago, I meant to mention this at the beginning of the call, but real quick, about 6 or 7 months ago, I had a guy come on that was starting a Facebook group, Water Treatment Pros, on Facebook. That has grown exponentially. It's such a great and active discussion. And Sam Tyler, who has been a long-time MV Pro, he is going to be our guest next week, and we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we learned from that. I encourage you to hop on there and learn about that. And if you haven't joined that Facebook group, Water Treatment Pros, then I encourage you to do that too. I've been really impressed with the dialogue and the conversation and just the forum to learn with it. But he's going to be our guest next week. With that, everybody be safe. Have an excellent weekend and week, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks.